What do we owe the honor of our esteemed leader, Craig Karmazin, joining us in studio this morning? Good morning, Craig.
It's Masters Week. I figured Chewy would be here. I just wanted to come hang out on Masters Week.
Really?
No. Harper had she has a dance competition today, so I didn't have to drive her to school, which is usually part of my Fridays. So I was able to just come in.
Awesome. Craig, it's so nice to see you.
Have you ever played and or been to Augusta?
I've been to Augusta a few times, but have never played.
How about your dad?
He had the opportunity to play every year, but never played.
Oh, just like Chewy.
My dad will only play golf by himself or with me. Those are his two.
Really?
So he wouldn't want to play in a foursome. He feels like golf takes too long, so
So does Chewy.
His average round is 2 hours and 5 minutes.
Oh, is that perfect?
That's fantastic.
I love that.
He walks with a caddy.
It's got to be with a cart.
He has a caddy and he walks and he does it in 205.
He's just basically playing polo out there.
Yes. Like when I'll be like, oh, what'd you score? And he's like, 208. It was a little slow today. I'm like, no, the score. He's like, oh, who cares?
He might be onto something though. Speed golf.
Yes.
I kind of like this as an idea. It's a merging of how fast you can do it, but also how low your score can be. Come up with something
here. That does exist. People like literally run it, and like speed golf is a thing.
So Craig, joining us this morning in studio, I want to talk about the Milwaukee Bucks because they're on a tear right now, and it feels like they are building momentum towards a playoff run. How are you feeling about the Milwaukee Bucks right now, winners of six in a row?
Yeah, feeling great. I don't know that it's because of the six in a row, right? Two of those were Pelicans games where the Pelicans didn't really throw much of a roster together. You know, Miami Heat, both the Bucks and the Heat were missing key people. But I think what we're seeing is a versatile team. You see the impact of Bobby coming back. When Jericho Sims comes back, I think that gives them more versatility. You know, Scoot has become a revelation. You know, Kevin Porter Jr., you know, he on both ends of the court, his activity, his swag, his vibe, his shooting, his defense is everything. I mean, I don't know if I remember a game. So the Bucks came back down 24 against the Minnesota Timberwolves. And the five people on the court for the final 6 minutes of that game, it was Giannis and four bench players. Do you ever remember a scenario like that where legitimately that could be your closing lineup? I mean, so I think this group gives Doc so many different looks and so many different options, and I do not think anyone wants to play us.
Could some of that be defensive, though? Because part of the storyline with that Timberwolves game was that they went to zone,
yep,
and the Timberwolves couldn't figure it out. They were completely flustered by it, turning the ball over a number of times down the stretch. Is that part of it, you think? The defensive way, the defense that they can play with those guys on the court?
I think you just nailed it for the whole postseason. I think that's going to be what this team can be, and that's why I brought up Jericho Sims. The Bucks' offense is so good off of stops. So in the Timberwolves game, the reason they got behind so bad was they couldn't stop them. Like they're in the first half, there was not a time where two straight possessions the Bucks stopped them. In that 23-0 run, I think there was eight possessions in a row, or, you know, seven possessions. I mean, they were just stopping, stopping, stopping. And so it all feeds off the defense. And the beauty of it is, there's not a guy who you're like, oh, he can't be on the court. Like A.J. Green, for a big part of this year, other NBA teams you could see were picking on him. And I still think refs pick on him. But there's not a guy who can't guard on this team. And so when that's the case, it's really an interesting team in the postseason. Now there's matchups where Brooke Lopez, you know, is, you know, dominant. And there's matchups where it's like, ooh, can we keep him on the floor because they're going so small? But every single player on this Bucks team now can defend. And when Dame is playing at a high level, he has also been this year defending at a high level.
What can you tell us about Dame?
I can't tell you anything about Dame. I can tell you I talked to Dame last night and I thanked him for his, you know, for how vulnerable and how great he was in the Dame Lillard story that's available on Bucks Plus, a 4-part series. And he said he really enjoyed doing it. He said he started to listen to it, but he hasn't listened to the whole thing. And I was like, all right, we'll get on the treadmill and, you know, and listen to it. Come on now. But, you know, we've heard Doc say he's optimistic about Dame's return. And the fact that, like, we're so excited about this team before Dame's back, and then if you add Dame Lillard to this team, I mean, again, Jen, you said it. There's something right now that feels really good, even though, again, haven't beat the Celtics this year, haven't beat the Knicks this year, haven't beat the Cleveland Cavaliers this year. So let's not go overboard, but against all of those teams, the best player on the court is going to be the same person.
But do you think, Craig, that like the NFL, we talk about it every year, are the Bucks trending towards being one of those teams you do not want to play in the playoffs?
Yes. I mean, right? Isn't it the best player on the court? Right? Like Joker, the Nuggets just fired their coach.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that, yeah.
Are you shocked if the Nuggets beat anyone? I don't think you're shocked.
I will be shocked if they are in the NBA Finals, yes.
If they beat, if they win three rounds,
correct. Yes, but, that's what I'm saying. Like, but, you can't fire your coach that late in the season and go, "Hey, interim coach who's never had to make decisions before, hey, go make these important decisions."
But for a team who just fired their coach, if they go out and beat someone good in the first round, if they end up in the 3-6 against the Lakers, against LeBron and Luka, they could beat LeBron and Luka, and we wouldn't be stunned.
No, again, they can win a series. Yeah, they can't win multiple.
When you have that good a player, Chewy, and that's the thing about Giannis, and it's not just a great player on one end of the court, it's a great player on both ends of the court, a player who's so unselfish, and a player who, by the way, I think it's like 10 consecutive games now, he has scored 20 points and shot over 60% from the field, so he's that efficient. He's averaging double-digit assists since Dame's gone, and his trust and his unselfishness, that goes through to the rest of the team, and that's how they're playing right now.
You mentioned Kevin Porter Jr., but I saw this on the Bucks' social media account last night on Twitter. Apparently, he doesn't want to go by Scoot, doesn't want to go by Scooter. His preferred nickname is Sakuta, which is Scooter in Japanese.
Oops. I called him Scoot.
I like it.
Yesterday, I happened to see
him. Again, I saw it like before the game yesterday.
Wait, is there a chance he thought I said Sakuta? Like, could it have, like, I mumbled it?
I don't know. Did you?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Oh, man.
Yeah. Like, I thought I was cool calling him Scoot, like, and not calling him KPJ. So I didn't call him KPJ, so I called him Scoot, so I thought I was being cool by doing that.
I realize I'm a loser. Is there a chance that maybe he thought I said the Japanese version of the word that I said? What?
Multiple syllables, and I just said, I called him Scoot.
I've been accused of not enunciating at times, so maybe he was a Scooter.
All just rolled together, rumbled together. The other big story locally, Craig, is, of course, the draft in 2 weeks. People getting very excited about the draft in Green Bay.
It wasn't the Brewers grabbing 2 out of 3 in Colorado?
We can bop around that as well. The Brewers have won every series they've played except for the one against the Yankees. So we could talk about that as well. But how are you feeling about our state hosting the draft? All of these folks rolling in. We've got a ton of stuff planned for our loyal listeners. We've got a ton of stuff happening up at the Tundra Trio. How are you feeling about the biggest event at this time of year in the NFL being in our state?
I guarantee this is going to be a bigger event for the state of Wisconsin. Benchmark this, you know, aggregate me on social media, whatever you want to do. This will be a bigger event than the DNC was here in the state of Wisconsin.
I mean,
no, I'm just kidding.
Just going out on
the
trunk
DNC.
Hold on, Craig.
No one actually showed up for that one. I'm joking. Chewy, the Ryder Cup, when that happened,
I was just going to say.
You and I talked about how massive that was for the state of Wisconsin. And that was different because it was global. But the NFL draft is that now also. The NFL has done such a good job of, they have picks being made from like 11 or 12 different countries, I feel like. I mean, the best way you could look at it is you guys hear during this show, Evan Cohen doing the commercials for, you know, Visit Wisconsin. We did a contest to see who wanted to come to the NFL draft in Wisconsin. How many people do you think entered that?
Thousands.
Over 22,000 people.
Okay. When I said thousands, I thought like 8, 9.
Yeah.
Think about that. In April, Chewy doesn't want to be in Wisconsin in April. It's 35 degrees. Over 22,000 people. But how about this on top of it? Over 41%, over 10,000 of those check the box to say they want more information about the state of Wisconsin from Visit Wisconsin.
Oh, wow. That's okay.
So when you think about the economic impact, you think about the opportunity for us as a state where, you know, we know this isn't the number one vacation, this isn't South Florida or whatever, but like it's really cool when you have stuff like this and it's around our passion, which is football and sports. So the reason I moved to the state of Wisconsin was because of sports, and the reason all these people are going to come and they're going to be surrounded by a bunch of kind people who are passionate about the same thing that all these people who are coming to Wisconsin is. So Jen, I'm glad you asked about it, because it's such a source of pride for me, and I give the NFL credit for being willing to do it. They could have said, you know what, there's not enough hotel rooms. It's going to be a logistical nightmare. There's no reason for us to try to figure out how to do this. Let's do it in a city where you could get a direct flight. Like, forget, I mean, you can't even get a direct flight to Milwaukee, much less a direct flight to Green Bay. It is not easy, but the NFL is like, we don't care. It's going to be cool to have the draft in Green Bay, so we're just going to do it, and we know that if we do something, because we're the NFL, people will come, and they will.
But I don't think it's going to be the people coming from out of state, Craig. I think there's just going to be a massive amount of people that live in Wisconsin that don't need a hotel room. They're just going to drive in, whatever, and then go back. I just think
there'll be a decent amount. I disagree. I think the Wisconsin people will be like, ooh, it's going to be traffic. It's going to be a mess. It's going to be crazy. I know what Lambeau feels like on a game day. This is going to be double the people of a game day. I don't know that I'm going to go up there. I think there will be a bunch of local people. But Chewy, I don't underestimate. I've been there the last few years. The amount of people now who travel for the NFL draft is unbelievable.
Really? Yeah, I mean, I'm guessing there's going to be a lot of, park and rides, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm just thinking of Oneida, which is shut down. That part of the parking lot shut down. So, like, trying to get that many people into Lambeau.
I hope people are staying for the second round on Friday, because I think the first round's going to be a lot of figuring out how you actually, like, make it work. Like, kind of like when the Ryder Cup was up at Whistling, like, the first time. I will also say, I've heard you guys giving away the podcast on Wednesday night.
Football Focus. Yeah. Fantasy Focus Football.
Yeah, Fantasy Focus Football. That's going to be a cool way for, if people win those, to get up there before it's so crazy. Like, so for someone who wants to be part of the NFL draft coming to Wisconsin, but maybe doesn't want to be in the mix of 150,000 general admission people, if you can win that podcast, being at the Tundra Trio, getting to be at an intimate event like that is a really cool way to be part of the NFL draft.
Have you attended a draft before?
Yeah. I mean, I attended as a kid. So when I was a kid, I would be going to a Knicks game, and I'd be like, Dad, can we just pop by the draft? And I don't know, Chewy, if you were drafted in that draft, were you in the Johnny Mitchell draft?
Yeah.
So I was there when Chewy got – I mean, I didn't stay that long for Chewy to get drafted. I mean, I had stuff to do. I wasn't going to sit there for all weekend.
Thanks, buddy.
But like, back then, it was just in a conference room, like, at the Marriott Marquis Hotel. So that's how big the draft was. I'd be like, Dad, can we just pop over? And you would just walk in, and there'd be just a bunch of Jets fans and a few Giants fans, like pathetic people like me. Because, like, why would someone want to go to see someone read names? Like, at the time, the thought was, this isn't an event. But I was such a loser that I would go to it, you know. I would try to go to the Knicks game and then pop over to the draft while that was going on.
So how would you describe, for people who don't recognize the vast difference, the disparity between what you saw as a child and what we have seen recently, how would you describe that? Because it's monstrous. It's a galaxy.
I had not been there since I was a kid. And then I go in Nashville. And what's that street called, Jen? The main street in Nashville.
Broadway?
Yeah, Broadway. Broadway. I walked down Broadway and it was full. Like, it was like, so it went from being like this little thing in a ballroom to Taylor Swift was there and there were 500,000 people. And it's, you know, in Vegas, it filled the entire streets of Vegas. I mean, it is the biggest, like, rock concert, like, thing that you could imagine. I mean, it is just a massive, you know, I don't even know what to compare it to. Like, what? It's like when the Bucks had the championship and won the parade. I mean, that's how many people are out there on the streets at this thing. It is. What the NFL has done with it is absolutely incredible.
Did you know that this is not the first time that the draft has been held in Wisconsin? Did you know that in 1940 at the, it's now the Hilton, but it was the Hotel Schrader, they held the NFL draft in Milwaukee.
Really?
Nice of Rock to host it at his hotel back in the 40s.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, did not know that. Chewy, were you selected in that? Was that your draft or no?
Yeah, it was. They asked me to go, but I turned it down.
Yeah. You didn't want to have that Aaron Rodgers situation where you're sitting there waiting to be picked.
Well, you look incredible for 90 or for 100 years old, whatever you would have to be to have been selected in the 1940 NFL draft. All right, you want to talk Brewers a little bit?
I just want them acknowledged because I think a lot of people looked at how everyone is hurt, all the pitchers were hurt, and how no one was hitting, right? Contreras, his bat didn't exist. And Jackson Churio, I think that 5-strikeout opening day is like on everyone's mind still because it was such a high-profile moment. But, right, I mean, you look at how the bats have come together, and, Jen, you said it, they're winning series with 7-8 pitchers out right now. If the schedule's not that tough. The schedule's not that tough. If they could,
what do you want credit for? If anyone deserves credit, it's me because I said it's the best front office in all professional sports in Wisconsin. So I'm a little confused in what you
I'm not looking for credit, but Chewy, I think you're right. I think the interesting thing to watch with the Brewers is the Brewers have levers to pull. So they're over 500 right now. If the, you know, being banged up, all this starts to hurt, they have guys in the minor league system that they can always bring up. But the balance, Chewy, is when you bring them up, then their clock starts ticking in terms of their major league, you know, time. And, you know, with the major league, some, I think once the guy's in their 15th year, you have to pay them. Like, what? Contreras is somehow making like $6 million this year. He's been like the best catcher in baseball. I don't know how Major League Baseball does this. It is ridiculous. I'm not saying the players should strike. I'm just saying I think there's some equitable deal to be had here.
Don't worry. They're going to get locked out in 2 years.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with Major League Baseball, but my point is the Brewers, if it's not going great, they have levers to pull. And this team, because of what Chewy has always said as our front office insider here at ESPN Wisconsin, Chewy is right on that that assessment of the Brewers front office.
But every time I turn around, I'm seeing a new deal being announced on ESPN or MLB Network. It's, you know, whoever it is, Juan Soto, or who was the guy earlier this week that had a huge deal?
Vlad.
Oh, Vlad Guerrero Jr.
That's right. Thank you, Josh.
$500 million.
But the Brewers did it right with Churio, right? Like, I think.
Yeah, I think
there's guys like
they did it right for them because they, as we have discussed, it feels like have to manipulate the situation a little bit in order
but
to
don't
be
you think
able
anyone
to get guys
would,
in at
if
that
anyone
level.
Was smart, they would do that.
Teams are doing that all over baseball with those young players. The Red Sox have locked up a couple of guys to similar deals where you're getting rid of maybe a year of free agency but giving more money up front now. Because otherwise, if they didn't sign Churio, he'd be well under $1 million this year. But now, because of the deal, he's getting more money up front versus, you know, and still getting some on the back.
Yeah, and there would be a 0.1% chance that we'd be able to keep him when his contract comes up and when he can test free agency and all of that stuff.
Jen, don't worry about it. Baseball's getting locked out in 2026, so maybe some of this is going to get fixed.
Wait, 2026, that's next year?
I think it's after 2026.
Why are they getting locked out? Because of free agency?
Well, I think the owners are going to want a salary cap and players' union is going to fight back on it.
There should be a salary cap, but there should also be a salary floor. Like, that's the joke of Major League Baseball.
Correct.
I mean, Chewy, there's teams who are paying have 1/5 of the salaries of the Dodgers, right? Like, the Marlins will pay like $70 million for their entire roster, and like the Mets and Dodgers are paying that for like one player. Like, it's got to be closer.
Yeah. So this CBA expires December 2026. So after the 26 seasons when the lockout's going to start.
So we got some time, Craig.
I'm ready for another postseason. I don't know. I mean, the Cubs are the only other team that I've been to Pottawatomie recently.
I said this last week, a week before, when they obviously started out the season slow, but then they came back gangbusters, and then they came back. And again, all you have to do is keep winning series. I told these guys, I'm more optimistic about the Brewers now with what I've seen, given the injuries, than I was at the start of the season. Because if you can do it now, with one arm tied behind your back, man, you get those players back, this is going to be a team to contend with.
Joshy, plus odds, Brewers to make the playoffs right now. I just got them at plus 180 to make the playoffs. Now, wild card's very hard in the National League, so it's really almost about winning
nothing,
the division.
Yeah.
But plus odds
to
make the playoffs.
We saw plus 345 or something like
that.
Yeah,
you should have.
I got plus 300 on the division and plus 180
three,
to
guys,
make the playoffs.
The plus 300 is the way to go.
Jen, Craig, and Joshy have a problem. I don't even know what the hell you're talking about. Plus 300 and minus two.
And this is, Shuri, this is why education. You stunk at betting when you got out of the NFL.
That's why you should listen to the weekly wager. But plus 300 means if you bet $1, you win $3. So you get and you get your original dollar back, right? So
out of the three of you, who's the best?
I'm terrible.
The best gambler? Joshy does it a lot more frequently than I do.
I think we all consistently lose. That's the impression I get.
Yes. It's just how little, and do you hit a couple big ones to put you over? I'm up on the year, like $250, but...
Okay. I mean, my point to me is it's not about winning. It's entertainment.
Yes.
So I budget it appropriately, and I get enough joy out of it so that the amount I'm going to end up losing, I will get that much entertainment value
out
of it.
Well, and nothing increases your investment in a game like having a few, what was that word, Jossie? Shekels?
Shekels, yeah.
Having a few shekels on it.
I mean, I can put together a $5 bet that'll have me locked into a game I would never watch.
Oh,
hey, Craig?
Yes.
Craig. Do you think singing our live reads is a good thing or a bad thing?
Yeah, did you hear that yesterday?
No, but it's a great thing.
Chewy sung his Jewelry Center live read yesterday. It was fantastic. I mean, again, it was written, composed, performed by Mark Chmura, so it was a Mark Chmura original. It was fantastic.
So you're in favor of it?
Yeah.
Locations to stop into Greenfield, Brookfield, Burlington, and if my wife can't tag along, she can look through all the many styles of diamonds and other fine cuts. What do you think?
I'm trying to figure out, is that to the tune of anything, or is that just an original?
It's a fight song. It's kind of a fight song.
We figured out there was a little bit of a fight song. At one time, it kind of sounded like a church hymn. Like, there were a couple of different styles that were folded in to the original composition.
You know what makes me happy? My wife being happy. That's why I go to the Jewelry Center.
I didn't know the tune to, like, Michigan State's fight song or something, so I was thinking it might have been, like, one of those that, like, a deep cut that I wasn't on top of.
No, in the style of a fight song, yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
All right, good.
Are you each up to the challenge?
Of singing?
They're chicken. They're afraid. Joshy is shaking in his boots. He wouldn't do it.
Of who can do the best singing live read on the show.
See, the problem is I think you need a tune. Well, I think you got to grab.
Well, you have time. Well, if you're Chewy, I think if you're Chewy, you don't, because he has that much talent. Jen is saying she may not have the natural voice talent that Chewy has, so she may need a tune.
Yeah, I was definitely saying Chewy has a lot of voice talent. That's way to read between the lines there, Craig. I think I can sing a reed. I'm not going to sing this reed, but I think I can sing a reed.
So, like, I think Gabe trying to do it to the 2001 hit. Like, who's going to win it? The Bucks.
Oh, wow. Light it up.
Like, to try to mix that into a live read. I did run into Romy, a local hip-hop rapper in Milwaukee, and I was like, I feel like we kind of have the team this year that we need a little remix song that gets us going for the postseason. So we'll see if he spins something out, and you know, we can give him some airplay, right? If there's a song, a rap song mentioning like AJ Green and what do we call him, Scootia? Because that's certainly what I called him last night when I saw Kevin Porter Jr.
If you just keep saying it over and over again, we can create the narrative.
I believe
that's what you said.
Sequoia.
What?
I got to pull it back up here.
Chewy just said Sequoia.
Yeah.
Sakuda.
Sakuda rhymes with a lot.
Don't you remember the artist John Sakuda from back in the day, Craig?
Yes.
I love him.
Chewy knows what I'm talking about.
Oh, Chewy knows John Sakuda.
He may
do a read to a John Sakuda song tomorrow if you give him a little time.
Dun, 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 dun.
Wait, what was the John Sakuda song?
I don't know, but I can hear the melody in my head.
Wow, you do have a gift.
Was he Chicago or
remembering
Asia?
Like half of things.
Wait, was John Sakuta the lead singer of Chicago?
No.
Asia?
No.
It was one of a band like that, though, wasn't it?
It's like something about like I fly away. Something that was horrible. That was not what it was, but it's something like that. I can hear it in my head.
give me a reason or something.
Oh, great.
Make
though.
It through the day without you.
Yeah, it's Just Another Day is the title of the song.
Oh, Just Another Day.
Gabe got the rings at the jewelry center.
Chewy's got it.
I just want to be clear. We took the nickname of the Bucks player.
Correct.
We blessed it with Chewy's live read from the jewelry center.
Correct.
And this is where we are.
Yes.
Why do you play zone defense?
See, Josh, there's no need to be scared. We're all terrible.
Should I try? The ESPN fantasy football focus?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, here we go. Ready? I gotta wait for the tune. ESPN's Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is coming to Green Bay.
I wanna go. Caller number 4 right now.
Yeah, exactly. Wins 2 tickets to ESPN's Fantasy Focus Football live at the Tundra Trio. See the show up close. Meet the host. Get complimentary food and drinks and Fantasy Focus Football podcast merch. That's caller number
4 on 800-990-ESPN, which is 3776. If you have an old school phone that still has letters with the numbers, I don't know if anyone even knows what that means.
Oh, man.
Caller number 4.
What year is it?
Greg, thanks for hanging out with us. Have a great one. We'll see you again soon.
Listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Where else can you get football analysis that includes things like dropsies and picksies and intercepsies and flowy? It's flowy. Flowy. The offense needs to be more flowy.
On 94.5 ESPN.
You all remember the moments from that magical March in 2015. Frank Kaminsky leading the charge for Bo Ryan and Wisconsin in a run to the championship. Now you can relive it all with Made 'em Believe. Mark your calendars, guys. It's June 26th. You can join Frank, Sam Decker, Coach Bo Ryan for an intimate night at the Orpheum Theater in Madison to celebrate that 10-year anniversary. Tickets are on sale now at UWHoops2015.com. That's UWHoops2015.com. Made 'em Believe is June 26th in Madison, presented by Bud Light, Michelob Ultra, Potosi Varsity Ale, Potosi Hard Seltzer, and 3M Insurance. Back here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Great to chat with Craig, who took a spin around the Wisconsin sports scene with us. I can't believe the draft is less than 2 weeks away at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have been talking about it for so long. We have been saying the positions that we feel like they should focus on, the positions that we hope they will focus on. And I think we are all in somewhat of agreement, right? What position do we hope they get with the first pick, whatever it is, whether they move up, whether they stand pat, whether they move back? What are we hoping they take with the first pick, team?
Well, I'm hoping for a receiver, but I don't think that's going to be. I think it'll be interior D lineman.
I want an impact pass rusher.
Joshy?
I'm with Gabe. Pass rusher.
So defense.
No,
line.
No, no. That hold on. That's what you want, or is that what you think they're going to
pick?
That's
what I want.
All right, what do you think they're going to pick?
I think it's very likely an edge rusher.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's an outside chance of a interior like Derek Harmon from Oregon.
Yeah, corner. Corner's a possibility.
Yeah.
What would tick you guys off?
The tackle from Ohio State who tore his meniscus and is going to have to redshirt.
Yeah.
Who, the one that came in to visit?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Simmons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that would tick me off. A punter, I think, would be pretty upsetting.
I think.
I'd be
linebacker.
I'd be annoyed by a offensive lineman just because the position is not that exciting.
But
I would at least understand the necessity of trying to build that out in the future.
Well, you've got three guys who are going to be free agents.
Yeah.
On your projected starting offensive line for 2025, three of those guys are going to be free agents next year.
I do think the signal, though, if you look at the other guys that they've had in that don't have injury concerns, they seem to be hunting mid-round guys.
Yes.
And that seems to be their path of attack there.
Which makes sense.
Yes.
So do you think that they will stand pat at 23?
I do. I do. A lot of the stuff I'm reading, it seems like there's not a lot of guys that are being targeted by teams we have to move up for this guy. Yeah. It seems like there's a lot of people who are going to have pretty similar grades, and teams are going to be happy to stand pat and just take where they, you know, instead of giving up something to go get a guy who's not going to be as impactful.
Unless they have a tier break on those pass rushers that they view as like significant, and those guys all end up going, I would imagine they just stand pat. Or, I mean, you never know, though. If somebody's desperate for somebody and offers you a haul of picks and you get to the, let's say, Jackson Dart. Somebody's saying, hey, let's go up and get him. And you end up in the top of the second with 2 second-round picks and then other stuff to add. I wouldn't be shocked by that.
Yeah, especially at that position, the quarterback position, if somebody wants to trade back in and try to get that fifth-year option.
So there's a lot of attention on the first-round pick or the first pick that each team has, but it doesn't exist in a vacuum, guys. So let's go to the first two picks. If they address these needs with the first two picks, you will be satisfied. What are they? If they address the interior defensive line and the pass rush, if they address the interior defensive line and a cornerback, if they address pass rush and wide receiver, give me the combo that will make you the most happy.
Yeah, pass rush, wide receiver.
Yep.
Like if you go defensive end in that first round, I think it almost has to be a wide receiver in that second round.
I'm the opposite. I'm receiver, pass rusher. But if your pass rush guy is two clicks below an O lineman or something, how many DNs are there that can make an impact?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I mean,
like, and that's
we
why
we don't know.
And that's
right?
why
the further down you get, the less likely it
correct.
Is, right?
Which is why, I mean, again, you take a look. Yes, there are some guys. Trey Hendrickson was a second round guy, but it took him years.
Round.
But it took him years to become the guy that he is now. Like, he wasn't impactful in his first 3 years. It took him a while to start getting to now he's 30 years old and has 17 and a half sacks back to back years. If you want somebody who's going to be impactful in 2025 at that pass rush, it's got to be in the first round, because guys that you're taking for the pass rush may be good
what
in
about,
the future, but chances are they're not going to make an impact that
what
much
about
of an impact
receiver?
In 25.
How many receivers are there that are legit? How many legit receivers are there in this year's draft? Four?
I feel like there's... I kind of feel the same way about pass rusher. Like, there's some guys probably in the first round, maybe in the second round, because there's a pretty big drop-off, because you have the top one who's going to go two or three in Travis Hunter. Like, and I feel like there's a drop-off there. Then there's Abdul Carter, who's the best pass rusher, and there's kind of a drop-off. And then there's that meaty kind of second tier, where I think there are more wide receivers in that second tier than pass rushers.
So, Chew, I've got the beast here from The Athletic. Mm. They sent over the beast. You can see it here if you're watching on the YouTube stream. It's this giant book that they put together. Dane Brugler over at The Athletic. Wide receivers, Tet McMillan, number one. Matthew Golden, number two. Luther Burden, the third from Missouri, number three. Emeka Ibuka, Jalen Noel. I haven't heard much about him.
Yeah, I believe he's teammates
with
Jaden
Higgins. Everybody talks about Jaden Higgins, the kid from Iowa State, who happens to be next on the list. Jalen Royals from Utah State. That's another guy I haven't heard a ton about. Trey Harris from Ole Miss. Jack Betch, the kid from TCU. Isaiah Bond, and that is your top 10. I gotta be honest, guys. They're all real good. I don't know much about Jalen Noel or Noel. But beyond that, I think all of those guys are capable of doing what the Packers need them to do. Now, we have talked about how do they fit with what they already have. Is Emeka Ibuka too similar to Jaden Reed from a style of play? Do you need to vary it up? Is that why you want to go with the bigger guys like the kid from Iowa State, Jaden Higgins, or Tet McMillan? Like, you can make all of those arguments, but those top 10 receivers are all pretty good. No?
Okay.
I mean, on paper,
Isaiah Bond.
I guarantee not all 10 are going to be good.
I think there will be guys who make impacts in the second and third round. It's just to what degree.
Well, and where do they go? We talk all the time about how much fit is important.
Yeah, I mean, Nico Collins was what, a second round pick.
Puka Nacua was
He didn't make an instant impact, but that was mainly circumstances. Like, look at the guy now.
Yeah, I mean, you. when they drafted C.J. Stroud, if you could see the breakout for Nico coming.
Yes.
Because the wide receiver, the quarterback situation was just so terrible in Houston.
So you just got to pick the right one. That's what it.
No big deal. Just pick the right one. Yeah. What the hell?
No pressure.
Pick the right one.
No pressure or anything. Just got to nail it.
What about jumping up twice into the first round? Trade your second, third, fourth for the 28th pick.
Don't think that this is viewed as the draft for that, but maybe that gives you an advantage. If people are more likely to be like, yeah, whatever, we'll slide down and get some picks.
You can get value there. You don't have to give up as many.
Right.
I can't imagine, Chu, them giving up that many picks to move back into the first round just because... Like, they do have future holes at wide receiver, future holes at offensive line, want to address the pass rush. Who knows what's going on with Jair? Like, there's a lot of questions about the depth of this roster. And if you're going to, I mean, again, only really add two free agents, well, I guess three if you want to add Mecole Hardman. Yeah. Like, Goody's going to want to hang on to as many of those picks to try to get this roster ready for 2026 as well.
But the only reason I say that is, let's say they get their D end with the 23rd pick, and then typically all those teams that are drafting later have their receivers set, right? Let's say Ibuka falls to 27. Then do you do it? Then do you just dump? I don't agree with the way GMs look at the value of later round picks. I just don't. I don't. How many times they pan out? Like, we were talking about it yesterday with, was it Jason? Like, how many has Goody hit in the 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th round? He doesn't. Well, then trade him.
Well, yeah, but
to move up.
But you need those players for depth pieces to fill out the roster because of their cost as well. Because it's cost control. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of those guys haven't worked out, but they've been solid special teams players that you can fill out on the back end of the roster and keep you salary cap healthy.
I guess the question I would ask you, Joshy, is can you get a decent receiver with the second pick that the Packers have?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's going to be like 10 to 12 of those guys drafted in the first three rounds, and you can find yourself with somebody who can – I mean, Goody said, and I don't think it was a mistake, that wide receivers can contribute earlier than they ever have been to before. So yeah. I think that was a kind of a signal of – we got a guy we think, or a few guys we think can come in and instantly make a difference in our wide receiver core.
What's his taboo round? Third?
Oh, it's been terrible, Chu.
Yeah.
Woof. The third. So
we got a break. Let's quit looking into that and go to break. We're a full break behind.
Thanks, Craig.
That's your fault.
Yeah, Craig. Yeah.
Okay, Dad.
I've said break so many times, and you guys keep talking.
Transform the way you do business with Fifth Third Bank's commercial payments solutions. Our market expertise and managed services streamline your entire payment process, seamlessly integrating with your existing systems to give you unparalleled control. Discover new revenue sources, save time, reduce operating costs, and boost your bottom line with our customized payment solutions. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I mean, pumpkin seeds.
No. Little suckers. They might be. What did you say before, Jen?
Sesame but those seeds. Are white. Like, yeah.
No,
white.
These aren't white. No, this isn't on the outside. This is on the inside.
Seeds on the inside.
Oh, yeah. So you've got some sort of, like...
Scrotum.
On 94.5 ESPN.
People on the Carbless Talk and Text line are very disappointed at us that we haven't been singing our reads. Now, I also imagine that there are plenty of people out there who are very happy that we are not singing our reads. But Ryan from Iguanago says, maybe if you sang it, Joshy, meaning sang break, how would you even do that? Break.
Yeah, it would have to be close to like amen, like when you sing it in church. Yeah.
I'm not going to be singing. There's a few rules guidelines I was taught as I took this job for the first time as a producer, and it was never to sing.
Wait, someone put that rule on you or you put that rule on us?
No, that was generally, you're not a good singer. We all aren't good singers, and people aren't going to enjoy it.
Yeah, none of us are good singers. We've established that. Do you remember when we did the Counting Crows song?
Yes.
Woof. Woof.
Yeah, but sometimes bad is good.
Yeah, but it has to be your type of bad.
Just out of curiosity, when is bad good?
When it's so bad that it's memorable.
But like
Sharknado.
Okay, okay. I never saw Sharknado, but I'll take your
It was terrible. It was terrible. But guess what? I was locked in. Every year that they came out with Sharknado 2, I was locked in. 3, locked in. But then it kind of, like, I wasn't there for 4 and 5 because I was over it by then.
It still falls along the lines of the most profound thing I've ever said on this show, which is knowledge is knowledge even if it's wrong.
I mean, that's among the most incorrect things that you have said.
No, it is not incorrect. It's 1,000% correct. Because even if you get the wrong knowledge, you know it's wrong. So it's still knowledge.
But what if you don't know it's wrong?
Then you find out. And then you know.
As the guy who oftentimes is incredibly right on surprising things, but also so wrong and then resistant to being told they're wrong, you put us in a real pickle.
Like who in their right mind likes vinegar? I mean, vinegar, when you think about it, is kind of got a disgusting smell, but it is so delicious. It's like so bad, it's so good.
I mean, I would put vinegar on that list. I could go with vinegar because you're right. Vinegar is like, ugh. But I love what vinegar does like in the pickling process. I love what vinegar does with the old hard-boiled eggs on Easter.
Yeah. You know?
Nailed it.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I'm saying if we collectively, all the people in their cars, all the people listening on the YouTube stream, all the people listening this morning, if we all do it together, there's power in prayer, friends.
Yes, there is. Bless me, Father, for I played man.
On 94.5 ESPN.
It was a wild one. We had a wild one today. Craig was here for 30 minutes. Blew up the brake structure.
I blame Chewy.
Joshy sang. It was just one word, but he sang it.
Well, again, because you weren't listening.
What do you mean I wasn't listening?
You're the one driving the bus. You're
None
the one who's got to take us to break.
Listening.
You got to take us to break. You got to take control.
You know how often I try to take control and I got...
This is your job.
That guy over there just keeps running us. Have a great weekend, everybody. Wildy and Tausch is next on ESPN Milwaukee. Gabe, enjoy the rest of the Masters.